I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page.
Hello, welcome to episode 22.
Yes, 22. You know, we're getting really close to the 6-month point.
Marissa, I know.
This is amazing.
I know, I can't believe it. Just a few more episodes. How's everything going this week?
Going very well. Thank you. Yeah, I'm really pleased. I think things are going well. It's been a productive week.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some great opportunities to get out into our membership. I did an onsite of Making Today Matter yesterday, which was a lot of fun because
awesome.
That's a great 2-hour program.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Weeks are flying by for me, which is great because we're busy and we're doing great things at MACNE. And, makes the weeks really enjoyable, and we're so much closer to the weekend already. So it's good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm actually taking 2 vacation days. Friday and Monday I'm taking off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Do you have anything fun planned?
Yeah, I'm going to work on the bathroom that I've been renovating for months and months and haven't finished.
I asked if they got anything fun planned.
It is fun. I enjoy that. You know, I'm going to really complete some major demo, take out the shower unit, knock out a wall, and really get this is going to be done by Christmas. So.
That's great.
That is a lot of fun.
It's always nice to see the transformation in the final product. So
that's
great.
Do you have any plans for the weekend? I know we usually do this at the end, but let's do it now.
Plans? You know what? Actually, we do. We're doing our holiday photos. So we're
awesome.
Yes, we're meeting with our photographer at a Christmas tree farm, and it's going to be a little chilly. So I've kind of had to revamp what we are planning on wearing originally. But it's a lot of fun. I love taking Isla to get her photos done because she. Is such a little ham.
That's great.
It's so fun to see her because she just loves it. It's like she knows that she's having her picture taken and that we're putting it on a holiday card and that we're going to frame it for grandma and all that. So, yeah, I'm excited. It'll be fun.
Good. That sounds like fun. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. So today's topic is a good one. It's something that I think about a lot. We're talking about our instinct to catastrophize, to worry, and how we can retrain ourselves to worry less and live more and break that cycle.
Exactly. So the title of the post that was released this morning was Stop the Merry-Go-Round, It's Time to Get Off. And I like that title because, you know, when I kind of set this up as an example of what we do. So you get home, you know, you're coming home from work, you get home, you pull up the driveway, you look in the garage, and, you know, your wife's car's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And right away you start to worry, you know, well, what happened? Where is she? She should be home. And in my mind, automatically my mind races, and I think of some terrible things that might have taken place. And really what I'm doing is, as Valerie Burton, who was one of our speakers at Live to Lead a couple years ago, she said, you catastrophize. I take this little bit of information that I have and I blow it into this vivid picture of something that very, very probably is not even the case. Another example that I put in my email is, so your boss says to you, you know, she wants to meet with you an hour before closing time on Friday. And right away you're thinking, oh my goodness, what did I do? Am I going to get fired? Is something bad happening to the company? And again, you're catastrophizing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. Somebody one time told me that one of that people that are very creative, that have vivid imaginations, can catastrophize more than anybody else because they literally can create this scenario. So this gift that these people have of being very creative becomes a detriment when it comes to this worrying thing.
Mm-hmm. And I think everyone worries.
Right.
And so while the creative people might be really good at worrying, I feel like it's just natural. We've all been there. You know, if my mom calls me in the middle of the day when I'm at work, she, like, if I don't answer, she's always very good about texting me and saying, nothing urgent, just call me after work or something, just so that, because she knows that I will probably think something terrible has happened or one of my grandparents is ill or something like
right,
that.
Right, right.
But wouldn't it be great if we could just retrain ourselves to not jump to those conclusions and
exactly
and to really stop triggering that fight or flight response? Because when you do it multiple times repeatedly, you train yourself to do it all the time. And so you're triggering this response over and over and over multiple times a day, which is exhausting. But it also can lead to a whole bunch of side effects, which I know you have a list to share.
I do. So I think what we should do is maybe just look at, so what is happening? So mm-hmm. So what really is happening is when we perceive some type of a threat, we begin to worry. And what mm-hmm. happens is that the amygdala in our brain, a little almond-shaped portion in our brain, is sensing some threat. And what it does is it begins to alert the rest of our brain that a threat is coming. And so what happens is we, you know, because we were created to be able to run from wild animals, that our respiration begins to increase, our blood pressure starts to rise, our heart starts pumping more. Literally, our blood is being forced to our extremities, to our hands and our feet, so that we can defend ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we really begin almost this crisis management where the instincts in our body take over instead of our brain.
Yep.
And that's where we have to kind of take a shortcut and say, wait a minute, this isn't real. It might be real, it might not be real. We have to do something about it. And so in my post, I talked about a conversation that I had with a doctor of psychology. And what he was saying was, you know, this is a very real thing that happens, but there are all kinds of ways to deal with it. And he said, if you don't, these types of things are going to happen. So let me list what really is going to happen to us. Well, the cortisol gets released into our bloodstream. Our blood sugars increase, triglycerides increase. We have difficulty swallowing, a dizziness. We can have dry mouth. We can have fatigue, headaches, inability to concentrate. We can actually lose our memory if we don't deal with this. Irritability, muscle aches, muscle tension, nausea, nervous energy, rapid breathing, shortness of breath, sweating, trembling, twitching. You know, I started reading the list and I was like, this is awful.
It really is. It's like those pharmaceutical commercials and they tell you all the side effects. But
It's
like all the bad things you can think of
right.
happen to you.
And most of the time, it's a result
mm-hmm.
of a threat that wasn't even real.
I know.
We allowed ourselves to think that it was.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, had a midweek service at our church, a midweek Bible study. And the comment was made, you know, we should pray for the church that was in Texas where the shooter went in,
mm-hmm.
and which absolutely we did. But the other thing was there were people that were starting to get concerned about where are the exits within our church building.
Yeah.
You know, well, is it possible that that may occur here? Yes. Is it likely? No.
Mm-hmm.
But right away, that's where the worry goes. And
right.
we just begin to catastrophize.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked the good doctor, I said, so what do we do? You know, it's one thing to say, listen, I know this isn't real, but how do we really process it away? And one of the great things is, he said, write it down. And you had mentioned that last week.
Mm-hmm.
Write the worry down. Write your concerns down. Because as you read them, you may realize these are completely irrational fears. It's not going to happen. You know, people that are afraid of flying, but they're not afraid to get in their car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have a much greater chance of dying in an automobile accident than an airplane accident.
Right.
So you just sometimes have to rationalize that away. One of the things he impressed on me is he says, you can't control an outcome of a situation. You can only control how you react to
mm-hmm.
it. So I think there we get into, you know, what can, if I write it down, if I talk about it with someone, perhaps I then can identify what can I control and what can't I control. Don't worry about things you can't control. And if we spend so much time worrying about the things we can't control, we may not be working on the things that we can control. So again, that's a really important piece to this. One of the things he said that when you write it down and discuss it, you begin to shine a light on your fears and worries. And I love the way he said that, you know, because as I remember as a kid, I was always worried about, you know, what was happening in my room at night when the light was off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you turn the light on, you realize nothing's happening. You know, so if we can just shine light on situations and expose them, we can really find out that, you know what, there's nothing here to worry about. He also touched on, he said one of the greatest ways to combat worry is to change your mindset and start thinking about gratitude. What's going well in your life? You know, if you end up with an automobile accident, maybe the car's totaled, mm-hmm. but maybe nobody got hurt. So you focus on the fact that nobody got hurt. And you know, cars can be fixed, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on, you know, to tell me just, you know, he and I have been having conversations about mindfulness and meditation, things like that. So I looked at some other things and there were some interesting things about, you know, finding ways to relax yourself. Marissa, we've talked about, you know, the Calm app and things. And what are the benefits that you've found to using that type of a thing to help relieve stress?
I think that for sure it helps de-escalate. So it's easy to get all worked up and think about what if this, what if that, what if this, this could happen, this could happen. I think it helps you de-escalate. It helps train yourself to slow down mm-hmm. in that way. I feel like it helps prevent that mind race that it's so easy to jump into. I think it does bring you back to your values and being grateful for the things that you do have and in control of the things that you are in control of.
Sure.
Because I think, you know, it's especially going back to like writing things down or meditating on something even, you can realize what you can and you can't control. And then you can ease that by being prepared for what you can, you know, so for
sure
what might happen. So like you mentioned the people at your church and worrying about could this happen, what happened in Texas happen here. You know, it's one, you know where the exits are. Now you are prepared and you can release that from your mind.
Right.
And then just let it go. Mm-hmm. because that's not within your control. So I think all of the relaxation techniques just help foster an environment for doing all of those things. I think it's so important to exercise. I've mentioned this before, like you never regret a good walk. So like 10 minutes even can really help
right.
just calm you down and bring you back to reality a little bit while you're spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning.
Exactly. Yeah. And so you have to, in essence, become intentional about trying to shortcut the worry cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the thing about, you know, just stop and write it down. And then I also found some research where there is a Dr. DeGroat, I believe is his name, and he suggested using visualization as a relaxation technique.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was interesting. He says it's a great way to begin coping with stress. And one of the things that he talked about is, you know, visualize something that is relaxing to you. And he used the example of you're on a beach. And he said, ask yourself, how warm is it? Are there clouds in the sky? Are you alone? Is it quiet? You know, can you hear the ocean? And he said, the goal isn't just to paint a pretty picture in your mind, but to put yourself in that situation.
Yep.
So that, you know, so for me, it would always revolve around an old wooden boat on a calm lake type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've realized, and actually I had somebody at the training that I did yesterday, at the end of the Making Today Matter training, it was kind of like a lunch and learn. They typically do these over lunch. And she said that she's read some studies that show that daydreaming twice a day increases productivity and creativity for employees.
Yeah, I'd believe
now,
that.
I used to get in trouble for daydreaming, you know, but I think it's the same thing. It's relaxing you. You're just thinking about something that's extremely positive to you, something that, that fills you with good feelings, gets your brain focused on positive things away from the negative things. And all of a sudden, you know, those negative things aren't that hard to handle anymore.
Yep.
I agree. Because compared to what you're dealing with or what compared to this beautiful picture you've painted, it's not a problem. It's just maybe going back to last week's, it might just be a stepping stone, you know, to a bridge that's going to take us to a better place. So yeah. We really can take control again of our thought life.
Well, and I've always been a firm believer that thoughts become things. So,
yes,
you know, you have to choose the best thoughts, and it kind of goes back to you find what you're looking for. So
right.
If you're thinking about all these wonderful things, visualizing positive things, you will find those things.
Right.
But if
right.
you're catastrophizing over and over and over, then, you know, you're inviting that energy into your life.
And that negative thought process mm-hmm. can become fatal
mm-hmm.
because you just continually wear yourself down and wear yourself down to the point that, I, I'm not a doctor, but when I look at all of these side effects of worry, it's like you said, it's like listening to the side effects of the medicine on a drug on TV. And usually I love the ones that say and or death. You know, it may cause this and this and this and this and or death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it literally can kill you.
Yep.
You could worry yourself to death. So I guess my point is, as we get ready to close out our year and we're looking at a new year, you know, just don't stay on that merry-go-round of worry. Find ways to think positive thoughts. To just say, you know what? No, I'm getting off this cycle of worry, this cycle of doubt and stress and fear, and I'm going to expect the best things and the most positive things for my life.
And I think and like it will help live in the present too. Like
absolutely,
when you worry, you're thinking of either the past or the future, and you're not focused
right.
on the present. And so, you know, I come from a long line of worriers, and so I love this topic because it's so important to me. But I find that when you're worrying, that's what happens, and you're missing, life is just passing you by.
Right.
And especially during this holiday season and moving into the new year, I think it's so important to live in the present and to really think about all the good things in your life and to realize, you know, when I was a new mom, a cousin of mine became a new mom at the same time, and she doesn't live too close. She's about 5 hours away, and so we talk a lot, and we'd worry about all the new mom things that there are to worry about. You know, is he eating mm-hmm. enough? Is she drinking enough? Is this happening? Am I bathing her too frequently? Why is her skin dry? All of that, those things. And I remember she said to me one day, because I was very worked up and worried about something. It was nighttime and I couldn't get a hold of the doctor. And does this warrant this and that? And should we go to the emergency room and all these things? And I remember she told me, she said, the sun will rise again tomorrow.
Yep.
And this will all be okay, and you'll have another shot. You know, it was nothing that really warranted a trip to the emergency room. It was totally fine, and it really changed my perspective. I think it's something important. I still remind myself of that saying, like if I'm having a stressful day at work, instead of getting tied up in it all, I just remember, you know what, the sun will rise again tomorrow, and I'll be fine, and this will be fine, and it's okay.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I remember hearing, and I don't remember who it was, somebody in the Central New York area over the years that was, and again, I'm vaguely remembering, so I don't want to get it wrong, but basically, he had a coin, and on both sides of the coin was this inscription, "This too shall pass."
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said, when things are going bad, read it. This too shall pass. And he said, when things are going good, flip it over and read it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the good will pass as well. And I love how you said, you know, live in the moment. you know, embrace, be fully present, I think is what you're saying.
Yep.
Be present with what's happening now and realize that if it's a wonderful, amazing experience, take it all in, create great memories. If it's a difficult experience, it's going to go. It's going to pass. Yep. Tomorrow's going to be another day, and the only thing that we really can change is how we react to those things that are very unfortunate that take place in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, John Maxwell always said, yesterday ended last night, get over it. You know, it's a new day, let's make the best of it. And only then you can. So, good. Well, yeah. I think it was a good topic. It was a little bit shorter, which might be good because I want folks thinking about it, not mm-hmm. just listening to us talk about it.
Yeah, there's a lot to think about on this topic.
There is.
A lot of reflection, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, reflection is a key to turning experience into insight
mm-hmm.
and learning. So if we don't reflect, we just end up living Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to know what we're talking about next week?
Of course.
Next week is Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I'm going to resurrect a topic that I might have talked about, well over a year ago. Not on a podcast, but in maybe an email that I sent out called An Attitude of Gratitude.
Yep.
So, if that really is a powerful tool to help us with worry, it certainly is something that we should be thinking about, you know, at this time of year when even, you know, our government encourages us to just stop and reflect
mm-hmm.
and reflect on how really blessed we are, how good we have it. So that's going to be next week, An Attitude of Gratitude.
Awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah, I am too. So one of the things that we wanted to remind people of is, you know, if you like the podcast, please subscribe. Send us ideas for things you'd like me to write about or research and that we can talk about. We did notice that the only way that you can post a review on Instagram, or I'm sorry, on iTunes, is if you set up a nickname. Because some folks were trying to give us a review, but they couldn't. Well, you have to put a nickname into iTunes for that to work.
Yes. Yeah, so from what I understand, it is easiest if you log into iTunes from a computer or laptop.
Okay.
I think it is possible to still do it on a phone or a tablet, but from what I understand, it's easier if you log into iTunes on your computer and just set up a nickname. Otherwise, you won't be able to leave a review on iTunes.
Okay. And so we're getting them now, and I'm thankful for that. So people are figuring it out
mm-hmm.
because that really does help the podcast get picked up on different search engines and things.
Yes.
So we can use all the help we can get.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.